that as you and I are walking with God, Jesus is faithful to sustain us with raisin cakes and apples. We're just going to briefly review and then press forward today to some new information. The bride, the Shulamite, was talking about the couch, how she was being carried by the couch of the king in a wedding processional. And she said how the couch was luxuriant. In verse number 16, she said, indeed, our couch or our bed is luxuriant or green. And this speaks about deep confidence and rest in her love relationship with her beloved friends. And this is what Jesus has for you and I. As you and I journey deeper into knowing Him, our life is going to take on a quality of rest and confidence. She calls this couch luxuriant or green. And this speaks to us of the fact that as we journey deep into eternal life, remember, Jesus said, this is eternal life, to know me. As we journey deep into eternal life, as we plummet into the depths of our salvation, we're going to enter into a place, beloved, of great abundant life. The couch was luxuriant. It was a place of rest. It was a place of confidence. It was a place of vibrant life. You know, we sometimes read of people that have had an out-of-body experience, Christians, and have gone to heaven for a minute or 2 minutes. And one of the things that they always say when they come back is that every blade of grass there, everything was alive. And so when she says his couch is luxuriant, it's green, it speaks to us, beloved, of the life that we have in God. And as we discover him, we are going to become more and more alive. Remember, Jesus said, I've come to give life and give it more abundantly. The Shulamite bride had discovered, she had identified the king as the source of life and satisfaction. She called him the apple tree of refreshment among all the trees of the field. In verse number 3, she said, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among young men. In verse number 5, she said, refresh me with apples. So she had identified this Jesus as the one that was able to make her alive, as the one that was able to satisfy her, as the one that was able to give her life. And because she had found him, she was totally given over to him. She was single-minded. In fact, she said that she had become so focused on Jesus that she had described herself in verse number 1 of chapter 2 as the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. In other words, a rose is a love flower. She was saying, I'm totally in love with you, Jesus. And she said, I'm living a pure life for you. I'm living as a lily among the valley. Even though around me is a fallen world, I'm living a life of purity and chastity to you. And beloved, we can't enter into the depths of knowing him without repenting. And I just challenge you today, if you're living in disobedience, understand that your disobedience will keep you from experiencing the deep love of Jesus. It's not that, beloved, he loves us based upon our good works, but that he doesn't release us into the knowledge of his love until we are in agreement with him. And this involves repentance from sin and saying yes to him and turning to him in obedience. So she had come to this place. She was in love with him and she was obedient to him. I'm the rose of Sharon, she said, and the lily of the valley. And so, beloved, you and I, if we're going to experience this deep bridal love that is going on here, we must cherish him and extol him and just make him priority number one in our life and live that out by practically living in obedience to him and chastity and loyalty. See, she had dove's eyes now. We read dove's eyes were the eyes of one that was totally loyal, as I've said. A dove was single vision. It had no peripheral vision and it mated once for life. We covered all that last time. I want to pick up in verse number 4. As she was living for him now, sold out, she had another encounter with him. And this is the way it is in life. We don't encounter Jesus in a new, extravagant way every day. But over the course of our lifetime, those of us that are living for him, there are marked moments in space and time on this earth that Jesus reveals himself to us in a deeply personal way, in a way that touches us, in a way that marks us, in a way that we know we've encountered him. You see, people that have never encountered Jesus, they're bored with Christianity. People that have met Jesus somehow, people that have been marked by him, it could come in many different ways. I'm not defining how he marked you. I don't know, you know, maybe the Holy Spirit just came to you one day and you were overwhelmed with the feeling of His love for you. Maybe you were reading the Word of God. Maybe someone shared something with you and you just felt Jesus. It could be many, many different ways. God comes in many different faces. But when someone has encountered Jesus, they're marked and they're not bored because they know He's alive. And because they know He's alive, they're passionately pursuing Him. That's how this Song of Songs starts out. She had an encounter with Him, and as a result of that, she wanted more and more and more. And it's continuing on even now. And so she says in verse number 4, He has brought me into His banquet hall. She's having another experience with Him. She already had one experience in chapter number 1, where she said, the King has brought me into His chambers. She said, He kissed me with the kisses of His word. She had an encounter with Him, but over time, she began to backslide a little bit. So in her backslidden state, she began to repent. She began to call out. She began to say, help me to get back on track. And as she was calling out and repenting, Jesus comes to her again. He reaffirms to her how much He loves her. Her passion for Him is ignited again. She says that her heart opened up to Him and became as a sweet fragrance to Him in His love. And now she is again passionately pursuing Him as He has revived her in her love. And so let's continue on. He has brought me, in verse number 4, to His banquet hall, and His banner over me is love. Now, as I said last time, in the ancient world, in ancient Israel, the nation of Israel was divided in tribes, and each tribe would have a banner, and it was like a flag, and they would walk under their banner, and their banner identified them. The banner identified who they were, where they were going. Well, she exclaims here that the banner over her now by King Jesus is love. Now, when I say King Jesus, of course, I'm speaking prophetically. She, in the original sense, was speaking to Solomon, but we are looking at this as the Holy Spirit intends us to, that the bridegroom king is Jesus, and she is, beloved, us. She's the church. She's a symbol, a prophetic shadow or symbol of us. And so she exclaims that His banner, that Jesus' banner over me is love. What does this mean? It means that she had come to trust Him, that what was happening in life, she could trust that what was overshadowing her life was His love, that she wasn't afraid of circumstances, that she wasn't afraid of the future, that she wasn't going to be afraid to obey Him because she realized that He was the King, that He had authority over everything, and she had come to trust Him enough to be able to open up her heart knowing that He was always taking care of her, that He was always nourishing her, that He was always working something good out in her life. And she also had come to realize, beloved, that if she failed, that God could take even her failure and turn it to good, because God causes all things to work together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. So she had been set free now, beloved, in trusting in His love. And you and I, beloved, need to also be confident in a banner over our life from Father God and King Jesus of love. So Father God, we bless You right now, and we thank You that Your banner over us is love. Now, Father God, forgive us for being deceived from what we see with our eyes when we see terror all around. Because Your word tells us in Psalm 91 that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but no evil will befall us or come near our dwelling because You are our God. So Father, help us not to fear what we see going on around us. Lord Jesus, help us to trust You. Help us to know that You're in control. You told us in Your word, Lord, that not a sparrow falls to the ground apart from Your knowing. And so we ask You to release us to trust You in love, that we would be able to believe that the banner over our lives is love, that we would not be afraid of the future, that we would not be afraid of losing our job, that we would not be afraid of old age, that we would not be afraid of running out of money, that we would not be afraid of health concerns, that we would not be afraid of things happening in our children's life, that we would have no relational fears, Father, that we would have no phobias. Father, set us free to trust in Your love. Set us free to know that the banner over our life is love. Help us to understand what that means. Help us to understand that Your love, Father God, affects and is involved in every detail of Your children's life. Jesus, You said that if the Son would make you free, we'd be free indeed, that we would know the truth and the truth would set us free. So we're asking You now, King Jesus, to set us free, to know that the banner over our life is love, and that we need to fear nothing, knowing that you are our King and that your love is unconquerable. That your love, Father God, cannot separate us from you, and that nothing can get in the way of it. Set us free by the power of your love, we pray. Your word says that perfect love casteth out all fear. So, Father, cast all fear out of our life now through your perfect love. Let the banner over our life be love. And all God's people spoke Hebrew and said, Amen and Amen. So now we're going to press on to some new material. Verse number 5. She cries out to him, sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I'm lovesick. Look at that again, verse number 5. She says, sustain me with raisin cakes, refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. Now, this is a beautiful word. She's basically saying, oh, I feel weak because I love you so much and I'm so desperate to be closer to you. I miss you so badly. I want to be so close to you right now that I feel lovesick. Have you ever been so in love with somebody that you could hardly even work because you just couldn't stop thinking about them? You just want to be with them all the time. It made you actually feel weak. That's what she's feeling. She's so ravished with loving Jesus that she feels weak. And now she's crying out to him in the spirit, sustain me with raisin cakes. Now, I want to tell you a great story, beloved. I minister to a Messianic congregation called Adat Adonai. I encourage you to come and visit us sometime. It's not a big congregation. We've got about 150 people on Friday nights, about 100 on Sundays. Love you to come and be with us sometime. Listen what happened. I was preaching to the congregation about a month ago. As I was preaching, I just sensed in my heart that there was a deep work that the Holy Spirit was doing in some of the people's lives that were there. And I felt like he was bringing them to a place where they were crossing over, like the children of Israel that crossed over the river. They crossed over the river to the other side. And when they crossed over the river, they built a memorial there because they knew that something significant had happened, that they had crossed over to the other side. And they built a memorial in a place of remembrance because of such a great thing that the Lord had done in their life. Now, listen to this. As I was ministering to the congregation about a month ago, at the time of this filming, I sensed that the Lord was really shaking some people up inside and really just uprooting some things and getting them free from some things, and was going to just bring them to a brand new ability to feel His nearness, to feel His closeness, and to walk with Him in intimacy. And so at the end of the service, I wasn't planning this. I just felt the unction of the Holy Spirit. I invited those that felt this happening. I wasn't inviting the whole congregation, but I was inviting those that really felt that God had done something in them that had forever changed them, that they were going to be in a new place in their journey now. I invited them to come forward. There were 15 people that responded. And I said, I want us all to hold hands in a circle. Now, I'm calling this group the Fabulous 15. And I took authority in the Spirit, and I drew a line in the Spirit in the blood of Jesus, and I said, something has happened. God has brought you to a new place in Him, to a new ability to walk with Him, to experience His love, and to experience His intimacy. A brand new thing has happened. And as a result of this, He is going to sustain this new place that He's brought you into, this new place of intimacy with Him. He is going to sustain it now, listen now, with raisin cakes. Now keep in mind, I just got done reading verse number 5, where the bride calls out to the bridegroom, sustain me with raisin cakes. And I said, God has done something. And over the course of the next weeks, God is going to sustain this commitment and this new place that He's brought you to in intimacy with Him with raisin cakes. He's going to be bringing things into your life. A raisin cake was made with grapes, a dried grape. It symbolized refreshment from the Holy Spirit. It symbolizes life from the Holy Spirit, that God is going to sustain this with raisin cakes. So just over, a little over a week ago, one of the Fabulous 15 came up to me towards the end of the service. One of these ones that had come forward and just sensed that God had done something in his life and God had brought him to a new place of intimacy. And I said to him, God is going to sustain this with raisin cakes. So a few weeks later, a little bit ago, he came up to me at the end of the service. He said, I got an unbelievable testimony to share. He actually didn't say it was unbelievable. I said it was unbelievable after he shared it in the positive sense. And he said, I have something, just a great testimony about the raisin cakes. So I released him to share his testimony. He said that he was driving down the road And he was just really struggling. He has some health issues and challenges that he deals with. He was just really struggling. And he said, Lord, I just thank you for all the things that you've done for me. And I know that you don't have to do anything else for me, and that you don't always, you don't always do things in my life because you want to teach me to live by faith and not by sight. But he said, I'm really struggling right now. And if you could do something, if you could give me a raisin cake. He prayed that same prayer that I spoke over him. If you could give me a raisin cake to encourage me and refresh me and let me know you're there, I'd really appreciate it. Right when he was praying that prayer, his phone rang. It was his wife. And there's a particular individual, I don't know who the individual is, that every now and then she would almost mysteriously show up in their life. I believe the first time it would happen, if I understood the story correctly, it was when he was very sick and she just showed up and just began to prophesy words by the Holy Spirit that encouraged him. And every now and then she would show up at strategic times, almost mysteriously, and deliver just a word of encouragement from the Lord. So just as he was praying that prayer, Lord, would you refresh me? His wife calls him with raisin cakes. His wife calls him and said, you know what? Our angel, they called this woman that would show up at these mysterious times, our angel. His wife calls him and said, our angel just came over and she just was encouraging me and giving us some encouraging words. And she left you a bag with some things in it. And so he was praising God when he got off the phone that, you know, right when he was praying to God, that God would do something to encourage him and refresh him, to let him know that he's there, that his wife calls and tells him that the angel just came over, this person that the Lord had used in his life in such a meaningful way. He took that as totally from the Lord, just lifted his spirit. And then he got home. And when he got home, he went to the bag that the angel had left him. And this angel knows nothing about this commitment and the raisin cakes. She's not part of our congregation. So this man goes over to the bag that the angel had left him and opens the bag. What do you think's at the bottom of the bag? Raisin cakes. Now, how many times has someone given you raisin cakes? I mean, this was such a supernatural, dynamic manifestation of the Lord sustaining his faith exactly the way that we prayed, with the raisin cake to show him he was there. The point is, beloved, that as you and I are walking with God, Jesus is faithful to sustain us with raisin cakes and apples. He is faithful when we need him to minister to us that which we need to go on to the next phase of the journey. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now to sustain us with raisin cakes. I'm praying especially for those people now, Lord Jesus, that are really weak, that have no more power in and of themselves. Would you come to them right now? Lord, I'm asking you to release angels. I'm asking you to release angels to strengthen your people right now. Father, even as you did with the man in the congregation that I just shared with the viewing audience all over the world, even as you supernaturally did by literally sending him a raisin cake to show your reality to him, Father, I'm asking you to release raisin cakes to those that are weak in power right now to sustain their faith and encourage them. And I'm asking you, Father God, to refresh us. We think here, Father, of the Shulamite bride and how she said that you would refresh her with apples, refresh me with apples, because I'm lovesick. So, Father, we ask that you would refresh those of us that are hungry for more of you and thirsty for more of you, those of us that know you're real. Lord Jesus, those of us that know that you can be had, that we can get a hold of you in a deeper way. Those of us that feel like Jacob, that said, I will not let go until you bless me. Those of us, Lord Jesus, that know there's more. Those of us that want to enter into a deeper fullness. Those of us that want to enter into deeper romance. Those that want to experience your love in a broader and in a fuller way. Those of us, Lord, that want to be touched emotionally by you. Those of us that are looking for a greater revelation of how beautiful you are, Lord Jesus, and how beautiful we are to you. Those of us that are wanting to deeply enter in to divine romance, I ask you, Lord Jesus, refresh us now with apples. Release to us supernaturally, dynamically, and prophetically through your Holy Spirit in a multiplication of ways the reality that your presence is surrounding us and that you live in us. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will ignite our emotions so that we can feel what you feel. Lord Jesus, I ask you to allow us to feel your love for us. Beloved, just put your hand on your heart with me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just say it together. Just repeat after me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm beautiful to you. Thank you that you love me. Thank you that I'm lovely to you. Now, Jesus, I pray that you would fill us with that knowledge. Cause us to feel beautiful. Cause us to feel lovely. Reveal your beauty to us, our beautiful bridegroom, God and King. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to love your people. Help us to release this same love that you're releasing into our hearts, into the lives of others around us. Cause our whole life, Lord Jesus, to be filled with your presence, and let us carry that manifest presence with us wherever we go.
There's a scripture I love, and it says, honor the ancient path. Look for that old good way and walk in it. In other words, the Lord is saying that sometimes as society gets more and more contemporary, it can lose its sense of what in the past has been ancient and has been from God. In other words, we can become untethered in our culture from our ancient biblical roots. One of the prerogatives of our ancient biblical roots is the principle, beloved, of honoring Hashem, honoring God with our finances. When we look at statistical giving patterns, what we see is that the older generation was far more faithful to Father God and to King Yeshua with their finances than the younger generation is. And this ought not to be. Because if we love God, we're going to love Him with every part of our life, including our finances. I want to ask you today, if you believe that what I'm telling you is right, would you honor the Lord with your finances through discovering the Jewish Jesus? Beloved, we need to put Him first in our life in every way. You can see the link in our description to give or go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Thank you very much for your help.